Thank you for joining us. And Pastor Akui, thank you so much for the opportunity to share the word of God. It is always an honor and a privilege to be used in this area. And, you know, can I ask you something? Can you do something tonight? Don't listen just with your ears, but listen with your heart. Because that's where the revelation will come. The ushers are in the aisle if you forgot to bring a Bible and you need one tonight. We've got some extra Bibles and we'd like to lend you some of these Bibles. If you can return this before you go home. And also those that are taking translation, if you can return the radios as well. Please don't take it. Don't put it in your pocket because then you'll forget. But we've been on something. I'm very excited about it. Something that God has put in our leader's heart. And a subject that is called, God Wants to Move Through You. God wants to move through you. And in the time that we are in, I believe we're in the last of the last days. And there's much to be done. And God is not going to send Jesus. He's not going to send back Paul. He's not going to send back Peter and Matthew and Brother Hagen and Brother Rodney. And these are the men that have affected our lives. And Brother Kelly, who's, late Pastor Akui's husband. Their time is done. He's not going to send those people back to do the work. Their time is over. This is our time. This is our moment. And we started off setting the foundation. Pastor Jenny talked about the first night about like Jesus, be like him. And this is the goal. Somebody might say, wow, you all want to be like Jesus. Well, I thought that's the goal. The Bible says so that we can come up to the measure of the fullness of Christ, that we can be like him everywhere we go, respond like him, right? Talk like him, release faith like him. Praise God. That's the goal, to be like him. The way he dealt with sickness and disease, the way he was towards the sinners, the way he dealt with the natural. Because we are called Christ-like. The word Christian means what? Christ-like. You're supposed to be like Christ, and we're supposed to be like him. And then Pastor John talked about the second night. Who is he going to use? Like I said already, he's not going to send the people that are already with him up there to do the work. It's our time to do the work. It's our time to be used by him. And then Pastor Arthur talks about Jesus, the revelation of the Father. And Jesus came into the earth to bring the Father out here so we can see. Everything he said, everything he did was and is the perfect will of God. And when you see Jesus, he says, when you see me, you see the Father. Jesus is the will of God on the earth. I can put it this way, I want to put it, Jesus is the will of God in action. Right? What he did and what he said. He's the perfect will of God. Remember the man that came to him, full of, you know, he was covered with leprosy and all that. He came, Master, if you will, you can make me clean. The Bible says Jesus reached for this. That speaks volume. Because the thing is, it's time to separate you from a person that has that. Because it's contagious. But Jesus stepped out and reached for his hand and said, of course I will. When he said that, that was not just Jesus' own thought or anything. That was God speaking. When he reached out and touched the man, that was God touching the man. He is the will of God in action. Praise God. Remember the guy who was paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus came and healed the man and then found the man in the temple. And Jesus said to the man, sin no more, lest a worse thing will come upon you. Well, that was God speaking. You all okay tonight? Yes. That was God moving through him. That was God in display. He was displaying the will of God concerning that area. Sin no more, lest a worse thing will come upon you. Now remember, they came to Jesus one time and said, hey, do we need to give taxes? Do we need to pay taxes? Jesus said, whose picture that's on that thing? Caesar, they said. Well, then give that to the man who owns it. Then give what belongs to God to God. Well, that was God talking. Ah, that was just Jesus. No, that was God. Because the Bible says he came to do what? To reveal who the Father is. In that area, that was the will of God. Pay your tax. So tonight, pay your tax. It's the will of God. If the government says pay it, pay it. Anyway, tonight, so I want to move on tonight and praise God. So the title, God Wants to Move Through You, and the message tonight is yield to him. Yield yourself to him. John 14, our main text, John the 14th chapter, praise God, verse 12, John 14, 12, it will be on the screen as well. It says, this is Jesus, most assuredly I say to you, he who what? He who believes. Now notice in the ministry of Jesus, if you have time, study it out, you will see that he emphasized this part so many times. According to your faith. Do you believe I can do this? Then according to what you believe. He says, if you believe in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than this he will do, because I go to my Father. One translation read this way. I am telling you the truth. Now, how many of you know there's no lie in him? He says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm telling you the truth. Those who believe in me will do what I do. Yes, they will do even greater things because I'm going to the Father. What did he say? We can do what? The very thing he did. Now, I know many people don't believe this and say, well, you know, he did it as a man. Well, we read Philippians chapter 2. If you have time, read it. How he says what? He left everything in heaven and he came as a human being. And over in Luke that Pastor Arthur read last week, how it says about Jesus being in the temple, asking questions. And then the Bible says the child, what? Grew in wisdom. If you are God Almighty, you don't grow in wisdom. If you are God Almighty on the earth, there's no way you will go. You are Almighty God who knows everything about everything. But he did not come down as God Almighty with all that knowledge. The Bible says he grew in wisdom. He had to ask some questions just like every human being. Is that right? And the fact that if he did it as God, anybody here has God power to create the universe? No. He didn't come down with all that power. And in fact, if he did come down with all that power, none of us would be here tonight. Because the Bible says, no man has seen God and lived. No man. But he did it as a man just like you, but not just a man just like you. A man anointed. A man anointed. So how did he do it? He did it as a man anointed by God with the Holy Ghost. God moved through him. The Holy Spirit moved through. He was a vessel yielded to God. Now, notice Jesus taught the disciples in Matthew chapter 6 how to pray. And one of part of the prayer says, that your will in heaven be done on the earth. Anybody ever memorized that before? Your will where? Be done where? So that proves what? That his will is not being done on the earth. And not also that, for that will to be done on the earth, who's going to do it? Who's going to do that? Us? Who's going to do it? Us. We are the one that he's going to use to do this. Now, I was meditating on this, and this question, you know, this thing can keep coming up in my heart. Just because God wants to move through you does not mean he's going to get that opportunity. And just because God wants to move through you doesn't mean he's going to force his way on you. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Why not just come and do it? He created me. He created the planet. It's your planet. Whatever you want to do, go ahead, Lord, do it. But no, something that I'm learning about God is He is a legal God. He wants right so that He can do things. And when you yield to Him, it gives Him that right for Him to speak, for Him to do something. He doesn't just come and do it. A lot of times we say, oh God, yeah, do it. Go ahead, do it. So just because He wants to move doesn't mean He's going to get the opportunity to do what He wants to do. Or He's going to force His will on you. When God moves in a service, the fact that He moves is because people are giving Him the right to move. And when He moves, I'm telling you, if all of us here tonight, with our heart, we want Him to move, when He moves, He does not show and move and just show up just to show up. No, when He shows up, power is released. Sick bodies are healed. Dead bodies will be raised from the dead. Broken marriages will be mended and restored back to normal. Sick body will be healed. Questions will be answered. Why? Because God is moving. And here's the thing. He's going to use people that are yielding to Him. And, through the teaching of the Word of God, and through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, when He moves, I'm telling you, people will be blessed. But if tonight all of us here do not want God, that's going to affect the what? It's going to affect God moving. He's not going to force Himself in a place and move in a place where He is not welcome. How many of you want to go into a place where you are welcome? What about a place where you are not welcome? Do you want to force yourself into a place like that? No. Well, God is the same way. He will show up in a place where He is welcome, where people are yielding to the Spirit of God. So again, God moving through you, there has to be this yielding to Him part. There has to be this yielding part. And we see this in the Old Testament. I don't want to spend time there, but we read some of the stories already. Moses, before, they went through the Red Sea, it started off way before that. When he was attending to the family, the in-laws, farm and all that, and God spoke through a burning bush, and God said some things. And He said, I'm coming down to bring My people, and I'm going to send you. But if he didn't yield himself, he yielded himself to God and said, okay, I'm going. And from that day to that day where they needed to open, divide the sea, he's been yielding to God the first day. And because he did that, he's now familiar with how God moves, how God, does things. And so there needs to be a yielding in our part. Everybody say yield. Yes, we need to yield. And, can I say this to you? Someone's blessing is waited on you and I yielding. Did you hear that? Someone's blessing is waited on you and I yielding. One night we were ready. We're getting ready to start. We've got everything set outside. And I didn't have a watch, but a man approached me. He's from Canada. He was a second-year student at the time. He approached me and said, you know what, Pastor Junior, the Lord's been putting you in my heart for the past three weeks or a month? And he said, I have this this watch that I want to give to you, but I've been holding on to it. holding on to it until tonight it came so strong, and I want to give it to you. And the guy said, I work hard for that. I'm not a watch person. It doesn't matter what brand or all. But he said the brand was Citizen. Now, I don't know a lot about watch, but he says it's a good brand. And he saved up about, he said he parted about, he paid for this $1,000-something U.S. just for that watch. And he says for three weeks or a month, he says he's been delaying it until that night. I was about to go down and start the music and all that. He approached me and said, God wants me to give you this. My point is this. Somebody's blessing is being delaying is because you are not yielding. Someone's healing has been delayed because you are not yielding to the leading of the Spirit of God. So just because he wants to move does not mean that he's going to get the opportunity to do it. We have to do what? We have to yield. I said we have to yield. Because if we don't, it's going to hinder him moving. You see it in throughout the whole Bible. People yielding. Remember the guy who Jesus, whom the Lord said, go over to Nineveh and tell these people about this. What happened? Did he yield? No, just like many of us. Flee before the presence of God. But thank God later on he yielded. But guess what? The freedom of those people, judgment is about to fall, is waiting on who? It's waiting on this guy. To what? To go yield and what? Tell the people what they need to do. So we need to yield ourselves. Again, he says, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than this will he do, because I go to my Father. Now, he's not specifying who these people are. All he says was those who believe. And those who believe, it includes a 5-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 20-year-old, a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. It includes every believer. Those who believe. Huh? These are not just pastors and teachers. This includes a 5-year-old that is born again. That I've learned to listen to God. And, you know, God, I said, go and lay hands on Daddy. Daddy, I just want to lay hands on you. Jesus' name, be healed. And through that little hand, God would release power. It is not just those that are behind the pulpit. Every single one that believes. Those are the ones that can do the work. Every now and then, have your child come and lay hands on you. Son, come lay hands and say this. Jesus, be healed. Because here's the thing about children. Their mind is not questioning things. You know, one of the things Jesus said, be like these children, be like the little child in faith. When you say to a child, that is going to bring something home for you, what happens to the child? Faith goes where? Why? Because they believe daddy is a man of his word. Daddy will bring this. Throughout the day, they're believing. So he says, these are the ones that will do the work. Those who believe, the works that I do, you will do also. And what else? Greater works than this he will do because I go to my Father. So how was he able to do the work? What did he have that enabled him to do the work? Well, he had the same spirit that we have. Now back up to verse 1 of that chapter. Where we can read through this so that we can see the whole thing that led up to what he was saying. Verse 1, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe also in me. Like I said already, this believing part here, it connects to God moving. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you believe that there are many mansions? Yeah. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know. And the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He also, he who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does the work. Who is doing the work? The Father where? The Father in him. Now here's the question. Is the Father in you? Yeah, some say yes. Some say, well, you know, Is the Father in you? Well, if you are born again, if you are already born again, then the Father is already in you. The Spirit of God is already inside you. Paul prayed the prayer that we may know the power that raised Jesus from the dead that is available to us. And that power right there is the Holy Spirit. He says, but the Father who dwells in me does the work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake, for the sake of the works themselves. Now, he's telling them about some things, and he's telling, I'm going, and there's some things that I want you to do. And I'm going to show you how you are going to be able to do these things. And then they're not happy. Their heart is kind of heavy because he's the helper that was there, and he's there with them. They go to him and all that. And he says, believe that the Father is in me, and I'm in the Father, and he's the one that's doing the work. Now, if you don't believe that I and the Father are one and he's in me and I am in him, look at the works. Look at the works. Why the works? Because I cannot do it with my own human limited ability. This is beyond me. That's why he says, look at the works. Why? I cannot do that apart from the Father. And all we can say today, we cannot do the work, he says, we are able to do apart from the Holy Spirit within you and upon you. Right? He said, look at the works. It is he who is in me who's doing it through me. God is the one who's the healer. He's the one that has the right word to say. He's the one who knows people's heart. And he's already in you. And when you need some direction, what you need to do is you don't have to go far. You can just go right inside where the Father is. The one that knows everything about everything. And he's the one who's going to tell you and give a direction on what to do and what to say. He says, he is the one in me. Verse 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes, he says again, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Greater works than this, he will do, because I go to my Father. 16, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Everybody say, another helper. Now, another helper means another one of the same. But this is better now, because he's going to come. He tells us what happened. That he may abide with you, how long? Forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. Say, I know him. You, he says, you know the Holy Spirit. You know him. Why? How? Because for he dwells with you and will be in you. He is with you and he is in you. He is with you and he is inside of you. Praise God. So how was Jesus able to do the work that he said we can do? The Holy Spirit that is in him. You know, Acts 10:38, he says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Dunamis, miracle working power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God was with him. So he says to his disciple that God is the one doing the work, and this is how he's doing the work. He is giving me what to do. He's showing me what to say. He's showing me how to handle this. So what I'm doing is I'm yielding to him. And that's how we get the results. If God says, spit over there, make mud, and put it in someone else's eyes, the miracle is not somewhere else. The healing is right there. You yield, you spit, you make mud, and then you put in the eyes. Remember Jesus? How he, spat and put in. That was God giving him direction. What if he decided to do something different? What if he say, close your eyes. Yeah, can you see? Can you see? Okay, one more. Can you see now? Oh, you have little faith. One more. Now he can do all that, but guess what? The healing was where? Mud, saliva, ice. Is that right? He's our example of somebody who was what? Perfect in yielding. Yielding. And you see the results. But he was yielding to what he is receiving from the Lord. The same thing with us. If that's the way he did it, guess what? That's the way you and I are able to do it. If tonight, let's say somebody is crippled tonight, and I'm walking, and the Spirit said, yank that person out of his chair. Use Giovanni. Giovanni, can I borrow? So let's say Giovanni, just an example, and I'm preaching tonight, and the Spirit goes, yank him out of the chair. I'm not going to go, Brother Giovanni, can you stand? No, that's not the direction. What was the direction? Yank him in Jesus' name. That's when I do that according to the leading, guess what? He will be healed. He will be healed. Brother Haken said this. He was praying for some people that came up to the front, and then he had the leading to punch a lady that came to the front that had a tumor. He didn't know she had a tumor. It's like she was pregnant, and she came up, and Brother Haken, I had a leading to punch her. And he said the husband was right behind the lady. And so he came in like a tap. And then he kept walking over there, and what he's getting is punch it. He came in a tap like that. But punch it. Man, he said he came around and saw that thing, and he went, pat. And the thing would. Now we're laughing. Now you're laughing, but here's the thing. If he says, slap it. Now, I'm just telling you, yield. I'm talking about yielding. If he says, slap it. Well, you say, maybe slap the forehead. But then you go, brother, be healed in Jesus' name. Is he going to get the healing? No. Why? Because you're not what? You're not yielding. You're not doing exactly what he's showing you to do. He says what? Slap the forehead. Be healed in Jesus' name. He says, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus was very aware of who was inside of him. When the Father wants him to do something or say something, he is ready to step out and say it and do it. And here's the thing. We need to be aware of God inside of you. Where is the Father again? Are you sure? The great and mighty Holy Spirit is already inside of you, and you and I need to develop this awareness of who is inside of you. And Jesus did that. And he showed us how to do it. He's very aware. When we are developed and in our awareness and in our sensitivity to him, that when he gives you direction, even if it's not so spectacular, it's not loud, just a little something. But because you're so, you have developed this awareness and this sensitivity, it's him. You don't pray another 30 minutes to see if it's him. Is that right? I mean, you know it's him. Even if it's just something that's so small in volume, if you will, you can tell it's him. And if he says, go left. Okay, you're not going to go, oh, Lord, is that you? Is telling me to go left? Because you what? Because you develop this. And you know it's him. When he says left, you go left, we go. And you may not know why you go left. But there was something on his you don't have to see a vision. It was something inside of you that makes you go, okay, I believe it's him. I'm going left. Or I'm going right. Hallelujah. We're talking about what? Yielding. Yielding. Yielding to him. And we need to be aware of the Spirit of God, the Father, inside us. You yield to that prompting of the Holy Spirit. And by faith, you step out. You step up by faith and give what he's showing you or do what he's showing you. And when he prompts you on the inside, you move. And by faith, you do it. And because you do that, now God can minister to that person through you. Is this helping anybody? Are you seeing this? So yes, he wants to move. But there is a what? There is this healing part that needs to happen. Just because he wants to move does not mean he will get the opportunity to do it. We need to yield. Our part is yield and step out by faith. Yield and step out by faith. How is God going to heal people today? Oh, there will be a hand from heaven. No, he's going to use the body of Christ. He's going to use your hands. He's going to use your mouth. He's going to use your body where he can move through. And if you don't yield, then he might not have the opportunity to do something. You know, the Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 talks about don't give room to the devil. See, the devil wants to do some stuff. You know, Galatians talks about the works of the flesh. And the list, it's a big list of the things that we do with this flesh. And the one who wants you to do it is the devil. See, the devil cannot come and just do whatever he wants to do. It's a lie for people to say, well, you know, the devil came and grabbed me. And the devil made me do it. That's a big lie. The devil cannot do that. You have to yield yourself to him for that to come to pass. Now, if we give the devil that room, why not give God more? See, the devil cannot kill and destroy unless somebody, what? Gives him the right for him to do it. Through their hands, through their mouth, through their bodies. How is the devil able to kill somebody? Is him tempting somebody and not somebody yielding to him, and there goes the hand. Same thing with God. How would he heal a person? Now, he can do a lot of things, but God's going to move through it, through a yielded vessel, whose hands God's going to use, whose mouth God's going to speak through. And we need to be and develop and become this yielded vessel to him. Hallelujah. So God's going to raise the people through you, give a word of wisdom through you, give a word of knowledge through you, help somebody's life and bring them to the kingdom of God through you. Through you. Now remember the story of a woman caught in adultery, John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The woman caught in adultery. It says, but verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Now, we'll keep reading. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act. I don't believe she was a Gentile, because the law right there does not apply to those people. So this is a Jew, and you know, those are in this family, this covenant, and under the law. And they brought this woman, in the very act. And these people, these people that brought this woman, you don't play around with them. They can kill you right on the spot, and they can make things happen straight away. So this is not playing time. This woman is on trial, and her life is hanging. And what Jesus is about to say is going to determine whether she walks away or die that very moment. So these are not playing around moment in right here. And you know, this is a serious thing. They say, verse 5, now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This, they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her. Do you think that was just Jesus' own opinion about the thing? No. The moment that he stooped down and doing something on the ground, don't you worry about that. Some people are forming doctrine. Oh, he rode this, and maybe he rode a donkey on the. But that moment to where he stood up and said something, he was what? He was listening to the Father. He is trying to get direction on what to say. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs says, don't trust your understanding. Don't lean on your understanding to give you the right thing to say, or lean on your understanding to do the right decision. Trust the Lord. Acknowledge him in all your ways. And what happened? He is going to direct you on what to say in a time like that. How many of you know this is not a time to, oh yeah, I think I know what to say. A lot of people, they do that. Or I think I know what to say. I went to school, you know, I got this. I think I know what to, no, you don't. Because the right thing to say is what he says. And every time you follow him, you will never miss it. Every time you follow what he gives you, follow what he says, it's going to help the situation. Now again, like I said already, this is not playing time. This is serious. This is a serious situation right here. Her life is hanging right here. And he says, let them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. John 5:19 and John 12:49, I'll read it to you for the sake of time. Jesus says this, then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing but what he sees the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, this also do the Son likewise. John 12:49 says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should do. So he's familiar with the voice of the Father. And the Father is saying to him, say this. And he said what he said. No, you don't have any sin. You go ahead and cast the first stone. Now notice in John 10:4, this is what Jesus said about us who are his followers. John 10:4 says, and when he put forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you know his voice? Jesus already said that the Spirit will be with you and be in you, and the world cannot know him, but you know him. And he says right here that, verse 4, and when he put forth his own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know the voice of the shepherd. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. What do? Yeah, you flee. For they know not the voice of stranger. So the sheep will follow that, will not follow that voice because it's a strange voice. You're not familiar with that voice. Right? It doesn't sound like God. You know, the Holy Spirit, when he leads you to do something, it's going to sound just like this word. The Holy Spirit and the word, they're going to sound alike. Why? Because he's the author of the book. And when he leads you to do something, he's not going to lead you away from the word. It's going to sound just like the word. I was meditating on this, and the Lord reminded me of those people that work over the bank. You know, they come every day in the morning, throughout the whole day. They touch the real money. And because they touch the real money, their fingertips are now being so used to the texture of the money. They're sensitive. Their hands are very sensitive because that's what they do all day long. Money, real money, real money. When the fake money comes in, also the fake money looks just like the real money. The print is the same, and maybe the paper kind of same and all that. But the moment they touch it, they can tell. It's not real. It's fake. And how did they get to a place where their fingers are so used to the real money? It's because that's what they do every day. But what about this? How can you get to a place where you are easily, you can detect that something is not of God? Because you spend time with him. Just like you spend time with your own family, with your own kids, when your child cries among all other children, you can identify the voice of your child. Because your child's going, ah, ah, ah. And you know, yeah, that's Jackie. You're so familiar with it. We're familiar with the voice of your child. And we need to be familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because, like I said, he wants to move. And him moving, it means what? We need to yield. And us yielding means what? You need to be familiar with the voice. You need to be familiar with how he moves and how he will do things. Again, verse 8. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, became convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Now the leaders, evidently, the story, they are not yielding to God. They've got killing and destroying in their hearts. Jesus, another place, he tells them, "You, your father, the devil, you want to do the works of your father." That is what? Killing. You, if you were Abraham's seed, you would not search to find a way to kill me. But you serve your father, the devil, who's a murderer from the beginning. So who are they yielding to? The leaders of the church. Who are they yielding to? They're not yielding to God. They're yielding to the devil. But what about Jesus? See, are you starting to see this yielding part? It is so important for God to move. If we don't yield, he will not have the opportunity to do something. To do what he wants to do and say what he wants to say. There has to be this yielding in our part and stepping out by faith and do what he's leading you to do. I mean, he has to step out by faith and say this in front of the leaders, the very people. Later on, they nail him to the cross. But he had to step out by faith and not being afraid and say, "Well, if you don't have any sin, you throw the first stone." And after that, he said something that helped the woman. "Go, sin no more. I don't condemn you." Is that God speaking, or that's just Jesus? No, that was God moving. That was God moving. And how many of you, if that was you, the law is looking at you.
The electric chair is looking at you. The cross, because that's what they use over there. The stone, they said, they're looking at you. And you're going, oh, Lord. Oh, say something nice, please. Say something. I want to live. That's you. And within a few minutes, you're either alive or dead. And after that, you hear something like, go, sin no more, neither do I condemn. What goes into your heart if that was you? I mean, it encourages you. Is that right? It makes you go, oh, Lord, forgive me. I will not sin again. Talking about what? Talking about saying what God is leading you to say. If he wants to help people, save people, he's going to do it through you. If he wants to give a word of encouragement, it's going to come through your mouth. But here's the thing. There needs to be this yielding in our part to say what he wants to say. There's a hurting world out there that needs to hear God. Are we yielded vessels? Are you going to yield yourself to him and say, Lord, here I am. Speak through me. Whatever you want to do today, I'm yielding myself to you. Now, as I come to a close tonight, here in Acts chapter 1, Luke is the one writing this, and he is encouraging this guy over here about something that Jesus started. He says, verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and what else? Teach. Of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. What about these things? He goes on to say, until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, has given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So what about this thing, Luke? The things that Jesus started to do and teach and all that. Now, he said, Jesus, over in our main text, he says, I'm leaving you guys. And I've got some things for you to do. Of all the things that he started to do and teach, guess what? That needs to continue. It needs to continue. And those who will continue that are the one, he says, if you believe the works that I do, you shall do also. That, Jesus didn't meant for that to stop. It needs to carry on. And those that will do the work are not the people that have gone to heaven. We are. Of all the things he started. He's the one start the whole thing. Teach about this. And now he says, I'm going. And the works that I've done, the works that I did, the works that I do, you will do also. And greater works, because I'm going to go and I'm going to send you the promise of the Father that will enable you to what? Do the work. Do you know that you don't have to have a pulpit to minister from? Your pulpit, for some of you, is your taxi. Your pulpit, for some of you, is the rugby field. Your pulpit, for some of you, is your job. Why? Because we ministers may not be able to have the opportunity to come to your place to preach or teach or anything, but you are there. You are in that vehicle. Boy, you might be driving the vehicle today, this week, and somebody just had a heart attack, and you're driving, and you're communicating with God, you're fellowship with God, and the Spirit of God said, tap that heart. You're driving, and the Spirit of God said, tap the heart. And you go around and say, Jesus' name. Now, maybe you're laughing. Many times when that happened, people move into what? Panic. Oh, not in my car. Not in.
Maybe walking over to the rugby field. There's another game that's about to be over. Number 8 is walking out. And the Spirit of God said, move closer. Move closer to number 8. You don't know number 8. You're not familiar with number 8. He does not know you. And then all of a sudden fell down. And the Spirit of God said, lay hands on him now. Oh, Lord, is that you? Is that you? Oh, is that you? You? Oh. Lay hands on him right now. You come over there because you're so familiar with the voice of the Holy Spirit. You yield yourself to him. And step out, and you're not trying to be this, oh, I'm the main actor today. Every eye's on me. No. Woo! Get down. Ah! No. You're going by the direction of the Holy Spirit. There's that guy's going. It's kicking. No, I'm serious. Shaking because he's trying to get some air. I mean, he's trying to breathe, but he's turning blue. That. And here you go, the Holy Spirit, lay hands on him. What are you going to do? Are you going to yield? Or are you going to stand there? If he's the one that he's using, if you're the one that he's using at the moment, and that man's life is not dependent on you yielding. Hallelujah. So you yield, you come and say, in Jesus' name, be healed, brother. What happened? What happened? You need some water. Hallelujah. Maybe you're standing at the traffic light, just minding your own business. Maybe there's a kid right in front of you, and the Spirit of the Lord moved and said, hold him back. Man, as soon as you pull him back, shoo! Uncontrolled driver. Oh, glory to God. It's happening everywhere. He says, you can do the work. But here's the thing. Are you ready to yield to him? Because every day, somebody needs some help. Somebody comes to your place of work. And already thought about some things and, go left, right in their mind. And the only answer is to take his life today. And then they come to the office and then, look around, maybe do some things. And that will be their last day on the earth. But because you're so sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, your antennas are up, your radio is already tuned into his radio frequency, in the frequencies, and you're hearing from him. And maybe you might know the person. And his name kept coming up in your heart. Coming up in your heart. And the Spirit said, call him. You call him and he's loading that thing. And he's about to click. And the Spirit of God move in your heart, bringing that man's name up. And then you call him, and the Spirit of God says, say this to him. And you say the right word at the right. Not, those are not your words. Those are his words. Yes. That read right into his spirit. That caused him to go, God loves me. Oh, Lord. And able to see another day. Hallelujah. Is this important? Is this important? He says we can do the work. The woman right there, her life is, it's right in front of her. And what Jesus has to say is going to determine the outcome of this thing. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if we learn how to yield to him, and not only yield, but now step out in faith and just say whatever you're getting on the inside to say and do whatever he's leading you to do, it's going to help somebody. We need to be more aware of where he is at. He is already inside of you. And you need to be more aware of him. And here's the thing. We need to develop this relationship with him. That's how Jesus was able to. He fellowship with the Father in the morning. He read the word. And he's more aware of how God is on the inside. And everywhere he goes, he always says the right thing. There was never a time where he missed it. Why? Because he's not saying his thing. He's saying what he's receiving from the Father. There's this live feed going on. Live feed going on. And he's yielding he's yielding good. When the Father says, say this, he said, do this, he will do it. And that's how God was able to move through him. Because he was a yielded vessel. Stand on your feet. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Close your eyes. Don't let your mind wander off tonight. God wants to move tonight. He wants to heal. He wants to do things that will help you. Maybe answer some questions. But let's yield ourselves to him tonight. Can we do that? And let's allow him to do what he do best. That will be healing our bodies and whatever we need. Let's lift up our hands to him tonight and say, Father, I yield myself to you. Oh, thank you, Father. Let's sing that song. Let's meditate on the Lord tonight. Oh, thank you, Father.
To the Holy Spirit, I yield myself. To the unction of God, I yield myself. To the Holy Spirit, I let him be my God.
Let's sing it again. Say, I yield myself.
I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to the unction of God. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I let
sing it one more time. Say, I yield myself.
I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to the unction of God. I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I let
going to give you an opportunity tonight. If you have never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, this is a good night to do that. And if that's you, why don't you lift up your hand with every eyes closed. Lift up your hand if that's you. Have not made Jesus your Lord and Savior and you want to do that tonight. Praise God. I believe all of us are in the kingdom of God. Why don't we reaffirm our faith in the Lord? Say this with me. God, I believe in you.
I believe Jesus is your son.
And you have sent him
to die for me.
He was buried.
And you raised him on the third day.
And he's seated at your right hand.
Today,
Jesus,
I confess you,
the Lord of my life.
The Lord of my
Thank you for loving me.
In
Jesus'
name.
Amen. Praise God. Well, also, if tonight, if you are not feeling well, maybe you're sick, something's wrong with your body, if that's you, come forth as they sing. I yield myself, yield yourself to Him. Come forth and we'll pray and we'll release faith. I yield myself. If you're sick,
to the Holy Spirit, I yield myself. To the unction of God, I yield myself. To the Holy Spirit, I let Him be my God.
Sing it again, I yield myself.
I yield myself. To the Holy Spirit, I yield myself. To the Holy Spirit, I let Him be my God.
I yield myself.
I yield myself to the Holy Spirit. I yield myself to the unction of God. I yield myself. To the Holy Spirit, I let Him be my God.
I yield myself.
I yield myself.
When He's moving through me.
When He's moving through me. I yield myself to the unction of God. I yield myself.
Myself
to the unction of God. I yield
Father, we thank you so much tonight, Lord, for reminding us that you want to move through us. And that you have reminded us that we have a part to play, and that our part is to yield to you and then step out by faith and do what you are directing us to do. And Father, this week as we go and this weekend, Father, continue to show yourself strong in our midst and continue to lead and guide us. Father, we thank you so much. We give you all the glory tonight, Lord. All of the honor for all the things that we have received tonight. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Now, don't forget, this weekend, next week, practice yielding to the Holy Spirit. Practice yielding to Him. Spend some time with Him in the morning or in the afternoon. Read the Word and pray. Praise God.